Welcome, 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 everybody, to another episode of Tide Talk Live. Stacy Blackwood joined, as always, by my good buddy Jake Thomas for another live edition of the show.
Look
Jake,
at that, Stacy.
Tune
Thank
in
you.
The Space Center. That is amazing.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
That is awesome. That might be the coolest live chat comment I've ever seen in my life. But
no kidding.
That's awesome. Thank you, Ice Man. Jake, how are you doing on this Tuesday evening?
I'm doing great, Stacy. I'm excited, ready to get this week over with because there's a big game this weekend, and we're about to talk all about it. But man, it's definitely huge.
Yeah, man. What a game this weekend, Jake. It really feels like this might be the game of the year for Alabama and Texas A&M both. So right. I can't wait to dive into that and kind of give our preview and predictions for that matchup here in just a minute. But got to get some business out of the way. Guys, thank you for tuning in. If you're not already, please hit that subscribe button, like this video, share it with all your friends on Facebook, Twitter, you know, just wherever, just share our channel so we can continue to grow here on YouTube. We're presented by BetUS and LaTorn Watches. You can find out more about those guys and the offers that they provide through us here on our channel. They're in the description below. So make sure you follow those links and, you know, either purchase you a watch from LaTorn or sign up for an account on BetUS. And on that first deposit you make, if you follow our link, you will receive a 125% bonus on that deposit. So if you deposit $100, they're going to give you another $125 to play with. So make sure you do that today. We would greatly appreciate that. There's already people chiming in the chat. We can't wait to dive into that and answer any questions that you have there. So if you do have questions, please let us know there in the live chat. And if you're watching the replay, jump in the comment section, ask your questions there, give your keys to victory, players to watch, and score predictions as well. All right, Jake. Wow, what a game this weekend in College Station, Jake. This is what college football is all about, these types of matchups where and the truth is, Jake, and I don't want to dive too far into this, but next year when there's a 12-team playoff, this game doesn't mean as much as it does this year because two losses and you're still kind of in it with a 12-team playoff. With a 4-team playoff, Jake, that's not the case.
No,
you drop this game and you are most likely done when it comes to the college football playoff. So once the 12-team playoff rolls around, Jake, these types of matchups will lose a little bit of their luster other than bragging rights and school pride. So I'm excited about this matchup, Jake, and what it means for both Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher and for Alabama and Texas A&M, because I think this is a critical matchup in the SEC and for the entire country. Jake, I guess before we dive too deep into it, just your early thoughts on the game, Jake, and how you're feeling about this matchup.
Man, you pretty much said it all, Stacey. This is a very important matchup. Honestly, if you want to look at it this way, both teams' season's on line right here. A&M's already got a loss to Miami. Alabama's got a loss to Texas, who, honestly is looking like a real good loss right now because Texas looks like a complete team. But Alabama's a lot better than that team now when they play Texas, at this point. And I feel like A&M, even though they lost Connor Wigman, they've kind of figured it out a little bit better since that loss to Miami. So I feel like both teams are kind of clicking at a high level right now. So this is just going to be a juggernaut of a game. So I'm like we said before, I'm just glad we're getting it at 2:30 instead of it being a night game because, boy, it can get ruckus over there at in Kyle Field.
Yeah, and you kind of said it, Jake. Both these teams – take some early season losses. I think both teams lost in week two to teams that are proven to be pretty good teams. I mean, Texas is proven to be one of the best teams in the country. Miami is a lot better than what most people, I think, anticipated. So I wouldn't say either team has a bad loss. They just have a loss right now. Yep. But I think also on that same side, both teams have showed tremendous amount of improvement from week to week. And despite A&M losing their starting quarterback, Max Johnson is an experienced quarterback. I think he has 16 starts or something like that under his belt in the SEC. So a real experienced player. This game's not going to be too big for him. He understands the magnitude of winning in the SEC West. So what an exciting matchup between two teams who I think are playing some of their best football of the early portion of the season. So exciting game there in College Station. And like you said, I'm I'm glad it's a 2:30 kickoff instead of under the lights, because it seems like under the lights, it's just a different animal there at Kyle Field. So excited about the 2:30 kick for sure.
Yeah.
And Jake, I know that, you know, before we hit live, you had some clips that you wanted to show. I'm not sure when you bring those in. I think we could do that before we dive too deep into the show. But Jake, share a couple clips from the Mississippi State game. I'm excited to see what he has to say about what he's seeing here in these clips.
I got a couple here. Let me get pulled back up. So this first one here, this is the very first play of the game from Mississippi State. And, you know, we're bringing, as you see, I don't know if you can see my cursor, but we're bringing CJ Dupree in motion. He's going to line up roughly about right here. Of course, you see how they line up on defense. Pretty much everybody's got a man. So we're going to move forward with it. You see him come in motion. I want to show you. Watch Dupree. He pushes his guy. And I think the key right here, I'm going to slow it down just a hair. You talk about a monster and J.C. Latham, how he took his guy and just bullied him all the way down the ground right there.
He moved him to a different county.
He did. And the other thing I want to make note right here, you know, Dalcourt gets a lot of bad rap, but understandably so. He's out of everybody on the offensive line. I feel like he's just not the more aggressive player at this point. But you see here, he chips, and then he moves into the second level and picks up a big block right there.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I've seen a tremendous amount of improvement this season for Darren Dalcourt.
I have too.
I would say he's always been a good player at the point of attack, but being able to reach the second level is something that he has struggled with, throughout his entire career at Alabama. But I feel like he's improved this year. And I'll be honest with you, I think right now the weak link of the offensive line has been Seth McLaughlin, not just because of the bad snaps, but according to Pro Football Focus, he's got the lowest grade of an Alabama offensive lineman, both as a run blocker and a pass blocker this season. So he's going to have his hands full this week against Texas A&M. And I'm sure it kind of ties in great with what we're going to be looking at for keys to the game, Jake, because it starts with these guys that you're highlighting right now for Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely. I got one more I want to bring up here. This, I'm not exactly sure exactly when this play happened, but this is one of the scrambles that Miller had. I'm going to let it play out, you know, just full. It's just a 5-second clip, but you see, I want to make note on a couple of things here. Caden Proctor is another one who you've seen the vast improvement he has shown.
He's blocking the man, blocking down, sees the stunt.
He sees the stunt coming and immediately pulls off of him.
Great footwork.
Yes, and picks it up perfectly. The other thing I want to make note of, look at big old Tyler Booker out there. He's got his guy off of the ground and just bullying him, takes him down to the ground. So I feel like that bully ball, that is exactly how we're going to have to attack A&M on their defensive front. We're going to have to bully them, and because, I mean, their defensive front is really, really good. But if we get that nasty aggression that we saw against Mississippi State, we have Caden Proctor each and every week getting better. Everything's lining up for this offensive line. And, you know, I'm starting to see what I thought this offensive line could be coming up in the season. It's getting there. Just give it time, Bama fans.
Yeah, no doubt. They played the best game of the year against Mississippi State last week, and Ronnie hits the nail on the head. It's going to be a lot harder to move those A&M defensive linemen this week in College Station because every one of those guys are dudes. They're 4 or 5-star prospects. They're deep. They're talented. And they're going to be hard to handle for this offensive line. But Alabama's got dudes too. So, Tyler Booker, J.C. Latham, they're playing their best football right now. Like I mentioned, Darren Dalcourt just continues to get better. Caden Proctor is starting to show why he was a 5-star prospect, the number one offensive tackle. But Seth has got to clean some things up. But I have confidence in Seth because he's been good in the SEC before. So it's not that he can't do it. It's just that he hadn't been doing it lately. So I have confidence in this offensive line. And you know, like I mentioned, our first topic of the night is keys to victory. And, Jake, I think it starts and ends with Alabama's offensive line.
Yep. I agree 100%.
And Skip makes a great point too. He says Jalen should run whenever he has an opening, especially this week. I mean, if he has an opening, get gone, because first downs are going to be very important against A&M, because you have to stay ahead of schedule against A&M. Mm-hmm. I think this game, as we talk about keys to victory, Jake, is which team stays ahead of the chains.
Right.
Which team has the most first down success, the most second down success? Because, Jake, if either one of these teams are in third and six or longer, it's going to be long days, because A&M can get after you and Alabama can get after you from their defensive front as well. So it all starts up front for both teams, really. And I think that's the key to the game. Everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks. I think both quarterbacks are starting to play pretty solid for both teams. I have faith in Jalen. I know A&M fans have faith in Max Johnson. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just about which offensive line can control the line of scrimmage the most or the most consistently and create running lanes for both the running backs for Alabama and A&M as well, because they got some talented backs. And Max Johnson's a capable runner as well.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm excited. You know, I just can't say enough about this matchup. It's two juggernauts on the field with each other, and it's going to be a fun 60-minute football game. Keys to victory, another thing I would like to point out, and Iceman, his comment said Jalen to Jermaine would be one of the biggest keys to victory this week. I like that. I feel like Jermaine Burton didn't really – we really didn't get the wide receivers in much of a rhythm last week. Of course, I felt like our play calling was kind of vanilla. We didn't want to show too much to A&M. And I feel like Jermaine and some of those guys, Baum, would probably have a lot bigger, things to say in this game. But I feel like as long as Jalen, you know, protects the football and doesn't cause any critical turnovers, I really do like Alabama's chances this game.
I do too. We talked about the offensive line, Jake. Mm-hmm. Jalen has to take care of the football. And it's part of, I mentioned staying ahead of the chains. Mm-hmm. Part of that is no pre-snap penalties, no illegal procedures, false starts. You can't, no holding penalties. You can't have none of that stuff, Jake. You get behind the chains against a defensive front like A&M, it's going to be a long day. I think you could make the argument that both these teams are playing about as good defensively as anybody else in the country. So, what a matchup it's shaping up to be. In College Station. I'm excited for it, Jake. I don't know that I've been this excited for a week six game in a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun. And Rick, glad to have you on, buddy. Roll Tide. Ronnie says Burton might not get to 1200 yards like I predicted, but he's averaging over 21 yards per catch. And I mean, I think he's already had two touchdown passes. It's been called back and receptions called back because of penalties, just like Stacey mentioned, especially at Kyle Field. You know, it's going to be loud. So I think we talked about on our post game show when we just covered a little bit, weather the storm early on. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to event, you know, settle down first, second drive. You know, you may have some issues, but after that, I'll give you two series. After that, you've got to be clicking on all cylinders after that. You've got to just cancel the noise out and just go play football.
Yeah. Iceman says, let's not forget the most important key to victory, Miss Terry.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
No doubt about it. Hey, Rick and Bonnie, thank you for joining us, Rick. I want to bring up something Ronnie mentioned earlier. He said, do you think the O-line struggle with smaller, quicker teams like South Florida? We are built to block bigger SEC defenders. Do you agree? I think that is part of it. A lot of it has to do with scheme as well, because those teams like to shoot. They like to shoot gaps, and even Mississippi State likes to do that as well. They like to shoot gaps and try to get underneath blockers just to kind of disrupt them and not allow them to get to the second level. So I do think that is a piece of the problem against a smaller defensive lineman for this Alabama team. But I do think this offensive line is coming along nicely. I think the entire team is improving week to week, and that's always a plus, Jake. I'm not sure that we could say that about last year's Alabama team. I don't know that I ever saw a progressive amount of improvement from week to week, but I see that this season. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Jalen, it's the offensive line. I think the backs are running better. The receivers are playing well. Amari Nyblack, I mean, Amari Nyblak, Jake, that's another guy who could be real critical for Alabama's success on Saturday. And I guess that's a good time for us to transition into players to watch this week, Jake, because I think offensively for Alabama, Amari Nyblak is proving to be maybe the most dangerous weapon for Alabama. I mean, especially in the passing game.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. I mean, you know, coming into the season, I think Tommy Reese and a couple others had talked about him being a mismatch nightmare for defenses. And you see why they said that. I mean, he's another guy who has had a touchdown reception taken back from a penalty. So, you know, he's starting to come into his own, much like, you know, Jalen, not so much because he's been in the program for a while, but he hasn't had a lot of starts. But you can say like Caden Proctor, Amari Nyblak, some of these guys are true freshmen starting, and it's just taking them to get some game speed, get some game experience under their belts, and you're starting to see the fruits and the growth that has happened. That especially with Jalen Milroe as well, I think that's all really he needed was just some game and experience. And but yeah, Amari Nyblak, man, I feel like he's going to be the next stud at tight end at Alabama.
Yeah, and Iceman makes a great point. I think all the tight ends are really Oots and Dupree are blocking their rear ends off, and Nyblak, and they've made a couple plays in the passing game as well.
Yeah,
but Nyblak's just different, man. I mean, I don't know how you cover that dude. I mean, he's 6'4", 6'5", you know, 230, 240, and has wide receiver skills. So just good luck covering that guy. So just and Jalen seems to like throwing to Nyblak. So I think the South Florida game is the only game he doesn't have a reception in this season, and that's the only game that Milroe did not play in. So I think Nyblak's going to be a big piece this weekend as well, and all the tight ends for that matter, because they're a really important part of our run game as well, because we like to run 12 personnel so much.
Yeah, and you know that one clip I showed you, CJ yep. Dupree getting in there, pushing his guy over to Latham just to get absolutely pancaked by Latham, and then you know Dupree going into the second level, getting the next guy there. So you know that's one thing that Saban has always said, he wants his tight ends and his wide receivers to block, and if you don't block, you're not going to get on the field and play. So they must learn to block in the open field. And all of our guys, you know, wide receivers and tight ends do a great job blocking and run support.
Yeah. Yeah. Rick makes a great point there. He says Reese has to be on top of his game. I agree. I think this is where he's going to make his money as Alabama's offensive coordinator. I mean, this is the game to show what you are made of. And this is a big time moment for Reese in this offense. So I'm excited to see what the game plan is. And what type of adjustments he makes once he gets into the game, because you know there's going to have to be adjustments made as well. So no doubt, Rick, a big game for Tommy Reese as far as play calling and game planning goes. Jake, offensively, I kind of gave my player to watch. Who are you looking at offensively as your player to watch this week?
I'm going to go with a guy we hadn't seen much yet, but I feel like we're going to start, you know, moving forward because you saw a little bit of him last week, and that's Justice Haynes. You saw what the caliber player he is and what he brings to the table when given his opportunity. I know there's three other guys in front of him, but much like a couple of these other young guys, freshmen, kind of like Caleb Downs, at some point you've got to get this dude on the field at some level somewhere, because he's just too special of a player to be sitting on the sideline for the entire game. So I feel like Justice Haynes is going to come in the second half and maybe light a spark, run, you know, have a couple big runs to get the, you know, and then maybe punch one in late in the third quarter to make it maybe a two-score game to 17-point game, and then we just coast the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, Justice Haynes is averaging 6.4 yards a carry. Now, he only has 8 carries, but in his 8 carries, that makes him the fourth leading rusher on the team. So, I like Justice Haynes. I think he has big play potential, and you know that's the kind of guy you could bring in late in the fourth quarter once everybody's wore out, and you know, instead of it being a 4 or 5 yard gain, it's a 50-yard gain. So, and it really opens up the game and changes the game. So I'm with you there. I think Justice Haynes could be a real significant player on Saturday afternoon. Defensive, good point. Field goals would be key.
We got the greatest field goal kicker in college football. So,
yep, real confident in Will Rockert and James Burnett when it comes to kicking the football.
Yeah.
All right, Jake, players to watch defensively. Who you got there?
I'm really, you know, players. If it's just one person, but I'm going to go with a whole unit. I'm going to say the inside linebackers. We don't really know the status of Deontay Lawson as of now. He might play, he might not. But if he don't, you know, I feel very confident in the duo and the trio of Blackshire, Jilla Campbell, and Trez Marshall covering that, and then having guys behind them like Justice Jefferson and maybe Sean Murphy come in if need be. I'm really, really excited to see what those guys can do. And I really feel like Campbell is about to tear somebody up because, I mean, he's just all over the field, just like Deontay Lawson was when he's out there healthy playing.
Yeah, I like how you kind of picked a position group there. And if you hadn't have done that, the player I was going to go with was Jihad Campbell. Mm-hmm. But since you kind of covered the inside linebackers, I'm really going to be looking at what the interior of Alabama's defensive line does. Tim Smith, Tim Keenan, Justin Aboibi, Jamarian Latham, because I think all those guys are starting to play some of the best football of their Alabama careers. So I'm excited to see if they can continue that against A&M because we know what you got in Chris Braswell and Dallas Turner. If they can get after Max Johnson on a consistent basis and kind of disrupt him, not just from the edge but from the interior of that defensive line, it could be a long day for that Aggies offense. So I'm really going to have my eye on that defensive front for Alabama. And I think they might could be the difference in the game for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I agree with that too, Stacey, because, you know, all the eyes are going to be on Dallas Turner and Chris Braswell. So, you know, one of these interior linemen is going to have a chance to get after Max Johnson. And then if you force him out of the pocket, then you're going to have Dallas Turner on one end waiting on him, and then Chris Braswell on the other end waiting on him. And then one of the inside linebackers on the inside rush to get him as well. So going to be crucial for these interior linemen to get in the backfield and make some noise in their backfield to make Max Johnson maybe throw a couple picks and make mistakes.
Yeah, so if you're in the chat right now, I want you to give us a player from the offensive side, a player from the defensive side that you think is going to be critical for Alabama's success on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to wait till you got done, but I have some stuff here I was going to mention, and I'm not throwing any slot to anybody or anything. This is just facts, you know, because this comes from Bama Sports Twitter. Well, it's actually X now. Alabama's defense under Kevin Steele this year, we're giving up yards per game is 297. Passing yards per game is 182.8, rushing yards per game 112.8, points per game, this key, 14.2. Total defense is 18th in the country. Ole Miss under Pete Golden this year so far, yards per game 408, passing yards 263, rushing yards 145, points per game 24, and total defense 101. I mean, you can already see the difference. I think that's another key to victory is Alabama's defense is going to have to step up and play, which I know they're going to anyway.
Yeah, I was going to – Tristan just mentioned the Anais Smith comments. I mean, I don't know if he meant to give Alabama that type of bulletin board material or not, but my gosh, what boneheaded comments. Yeah.
You just made it personal for Bama players now by calling out Nick Saban.
I mean, I had to go back and think. I'm like, who's he talking about, his brother? And then I remembered, but like, come on, dude. Like,
right.
What? And I don't even know what he means by he knows what Nick Saban wants.
Terrion Arnold was like, I've been here 3 years and don't even know what he wants.
So. Like, what does that even mean?
Right.
So that wasn't very smart on his part. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to talk bad about the kid, but that was not very smart. And I'm pretty sure the PR team at Texas A&M was like, shut up. They're probably in the background.
Oh yeah. I'm sure Jimbo's back there doing that.
All right, Jake. Before we get into our score predictions, it's not there on our lineup today, but we kind of done it last week, and I thought it was pretty fun. Bold prediction for the game, Jake. Give me one, two, however many you can come up with just in split second. What are you thinking about this game, bold prediction-wise? And by the way, in the chat, let us know your bold prediction for the game, or if you're watching the replay, let us know there in the comment section.
I think the Alabama secondary is going to have two picks again this week, and I think we're going to have three total turnovers, and I think we're finally going to get one of those fumbles to bounce our way and pick it up. And the other one, I would say, I really feel like, and I guess this is kind of a safe option because he's been all over the field and been one of the most consistent guys, but I really feel like this is a game Malachi Moore is going to have a big say-so in the game because, you know, a few years ago, when he got ejected for targeting, which was just a bogus, I don't know why they caught it on him. Again, with it kind of went his downfall. So now he's back up at the top, and I feel like he really wants to do something in this game. So watch out for Malachi Moore. I think he's going to have a big game.
I love both of those. And I'm going to go a little bit, you know, usually I try to stick to like player stats for the game or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go completely different, Jake. Alabama's favored by like 2, 3, 4, just kind of depending on where you look. I think Alabama wins this game by double digits. That's my bold prediction. Alabama wins this game by double digits. And I don't want to say it goes kind of like the Ole Miss game went, because I think Alabama probably executes a little better offensively than what they did against Ole Miss. But I think it has the same type feel that once the second half gets rolling, Alabama just kind of seizes control and you know, takes control of the game in the second half and almost runs away with it. Not run away with it. That's kind of an exaggeration, but you see where I'm going.
Yeah.
I think they get a double digit victory on the road and kind of set up to, you know, make a really good run here in the second half of the season. Cause you know, after Saturday, the season's halfway over somehow.
I know it took forever to get here. Now it's about halfway over with. I'm like, where, you know, this is crap. And then we can always talk about the new clock rule and all that. I hate that too. We can talk about that another time. But
yeah,
let's see. Iceman said, "Astral Bowl prediction: Alabama holds A&M to one TD." I love it. Ooh. I would love that. Jimbo will be on the field in the middle of a play, probably a pick six. That is so good. I love it. Yeah, that's so good.
All right, Jake, it's time for our score predictions. And please, y'all drop y'all score prediction right now in the chat or in the comment section if you're watching the replay. Jake, it's here. What are you thinking?
They actually, on one of my picks I do at work, this game was on there. And right now, I can always change it, but right now I've got it at 35-25 Alabama. But I kind of really want to go down to like 35-21. I feel like Alabama's defense, especially in the second half, is going to have a big game, and I feel like we're going to take control in the second half and win. So I'm going to go 35-21.
Yeah, I at the beginning of the week, and I know it's Tuesday as we do this show, but I guess really it was Saturday night when I knew what game was coming up next when I started thinking about it. I was like, God, this is going to be a low defensive game, low scoring. You know, both teams are playing with quarterbacks that you know, Milroe's still learning and progressing. Max Johnson's the backup. But, Jake, the more it goes on, I just feel like this offense is starting to blend and have continuity and chemistry. I think Alabama wins this game 31-14. And like I said, in the second half, they kind of imposed their will on Texas A&M, wear them out over four quarters and come away with a big win on the road and really make a statement and maybe be the talk of college football this weekend.
Yeah, I love that pick too, Stacey. I feel like Alabama needs a big win here, and I feel like they're going to get it. I just feel like overall, A&M's got talent, but we are the more talented team. And the way our defense has played the last several weeks, man, they're just all over the field, you know, going towards the ball and just attacking. And that's what we've been missing, I feel like, defensively, that attacking style. We've got that now. I don't think A&M is ready for that type of defense.
Yep, I'm with you, buddy. Mm-hmm. All right, well, Jake, it is my supper time. So we're going to head out, guys. Thank you so much for watching and being a part of our live show. Please jump in the comments now and let us know your score prediction for the game, your keys to victory, you know, and all that fun stuff. Cannot wait to see all that there in the comment section. Make sure to jump in the description, sign up for BetUS, get you a nice watch from LaTorn Watches, and like, share, and subscribe to our channel today. But that's going to do it. We'll be back real soon. We'll probably be back on the Bleacher Report app Saturday afternoon following the conclusion of Alabama A&M. So make sure you download the app and catch us there as well. But thank you so much for watching. We'll be back soon. And until next time, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.